We're turning once again to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 25. And then for the New Testament reading, we'll turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 25 to 29 from Deuteronomy. Let's hear the word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 25. Moses commanded the Levites, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, "Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands." Here ends the reading of God's word from the Old Covenant. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let's hear the word of God from the New Testament. Acts chapter 1, beginning of verse 8. Jesus speaking to the apostles. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Here ends the reading of God's word from the New Testament. The United States has a depository, a place to store things, for over 200 multilateral treaties, including, for example, the Charter of the United Nations, the Statute of the International Atomic Energy Agency, and the North Atlantic Treaty. The United States keeps the original treaty documents in this depository. That's a modern version of what's going on in Deuteronomy in this passage. There's a treaty between God and Israel, not made with the other nations, just made with these tribes. And it turns out that what they're doing in Moses' day was not uncommon. The oldest existing treaty between two nations is dated, it's called the Treaty of Kadesh. It's found dated to be 1,270 4 years before Christ. It's a peace treaty. After the Battle of Kadesh between the ancient Egyptian Empire under Ramses II, if you know your Egyptian history, Ramses II, and the Hittites under Muwatalli II. And by the way, the Hittites were in a country called Hitti, which is parts of modern-day Turkey. And you can find the Hittite version in an archaeological place in Turkey. And you can find the Egyptian version written on some of the monuments in Egypt. So if you want to go check it out, it's a treaty, a peace treaty between the two. By the way, it didn't last, but there was a treaty between the two parties. Moses didn't write the first copy. Well, Moses has a treaty document between the Israelites and God. He's the mediator. Moses went up to Mount Sinai, and the first copy of the documents were destroyed because when Moses came down, the Israelites were already going pagan, worshiping a golden idol, even though they'd heard the voice of God. Moses goes back up a second time, and God tells Moses, Moses reflects on that experience in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to give you the understanding of what's going on here, because there's two copies of this covenant document. Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is Moses speaking to the people of God. At that time, the Lord said to me, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, which were destroyed, and come to me on the mountain and make an ark of wood. And God says this, I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets that you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. So Moses says, I made an ark of acacia wood and cut two tablets of stone like the first, and what went up the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. And God wrote on those tablets in the same writing as before the 10 words, which is a better translation of 10 commandments, that the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain out of the midst of the fire on that day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. So Moses is saying, I have these 10 tablets, these 10 words written on this stone by the finger of God. They are now in the Ark of the Covenant, made of acacia wood that the Levites carry around. In this passage, Moses is going to die shortly. Moses is saying, I'm writing a copy. And he calls it the book of the law. And he commands the Levites to take care of it along with the Ark of the Covenant that has the stone tablets inside. And it's likely that this book of the law is maybe not stone. We don't know, but let me say it's probably a scroll, whatever. But it's a second copy, and it's next to the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Levites are the depository of the documents that say, this is the treaty between the great King, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and this people, these 12 tribes, this particular nation has a treaty with God, a covenant with God. It defines everything they are to be and do, and everything God requires of them, everything God forbids of them. So before Moses dies, he knows he's going to die soon. He tells them that. He writes the words of this law. To the very end, it says. So there's nothing missing. No paragraph, no comma, no whatever. Missing. It's the book of the law. Well, they didn't have books like we have, so it's either tablets or scrolls. And then Moses tells a shocking, really pretty shocking statement here, but not if you understand what's going on. He says, these documents of the covenant will be used as a witness against you. Imagine if the founding fathers of the United States, after the Revolution, put together a constitution. They said, here's the constitution. Here's all the things that the citizens of the United States have to do. And they had in it severe punishment, death penalty for adultery, death penalty for this, death penalty for that, you know, this is another death penalty, this is this kind of a crime, this is that kind of a crime. And only one religion for the whole United States of America, and it's Judaism. And if anybody disobeys this, you've broken the covenant, and God says he's going to do these things to you. And then we say, the founding fathers say, we're going to keep this document as a testimony against the citizens of the United States, because I know you're going to disobey every one of them. The documents can be used as evidence because they've all agreed to it. They've all said yes and amen. Yes, we will keep all this. We've heard the blessings. We've heard the curses. We know this is what's going to happen. They said yes to this covenant. So if there's a treaty violation, a covenant violation, in the future, they can pull it out and say, here's where it says, don't do these things. Don't go after other gods. If you go after other gods, this is what God will do. See? That has happened to us. Oh, yeah, he said he would do that. He just did it. We're in exile in Babylon. Or we've lost our battles. And the other shocking thing, we haven't gotten this far, but Moses is going to compose a song. And before he dies, he's going to teach this. It's a pretty long song. It's not like our hymn, 6 verses. It's a lot more. We'll look at that in the next few weeks. But this song is going to be taught by Moses before he dies to them. And for whatever reason, they're all going to remember it. And it's going to be such a memorable song in Hebrew that the children are going to remember it. The children are going to remember it. The offspring, children and children, generations are going to remember this song. We don't know what melody is going to go with it, but the words are there. And that's going to be a witness against you. Imagine if we taught our children to sing the Constitution of the United States, or maybe, you know, the First Amendment, or whatever. And then disobeying the First Amendment of the United States Constitution is going to be a capital offense. You're going to die if you break this covenant or this contract or this treaty or this Constitution. So the song itself will be a witness against them. You have no excuse. You've heard it. You've heard the reading of the documents. Moses spoke it to them. They have two copies in the ark, one next to it. And they're even told, every 7 years you're going to bring out that and you're going to read it to everybody. All of Israel is going to hear it. Every 7 years, read publicly. Everybody's got to come to Jerusalem. They're going to read this document. And there it is. It's stored by the Levites, who will go to death rather than have that destroyed. That's how serious treaties were in the ancient world, and with God taking sort of what they did in the ancient world and then magnifying it, because God is the king they're making a treaty with. And God has given Moses all the words of this covenant. And they have absolutely no excuse for not understanding what they committed their lives to. In verse 27, here's what Moses tells them. This is, you're like, oh my goodness, what is... Moses says, I know two things. First thing, Moses says, I know how rebellious and stubborn you are present. Here's the situation. Even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after I die, after I'm dead? So Moses is saying that to them out loud. Imagine if I was dying, and I said to you, you've been so rebellious. You're rebellious today. I'm going to die, and all these hymns that I've taught you are going to be a witness against you that you've rebelled against Jesus. And then I die, and you go, ooh, got rid of him. No, I don't know what you would say, but that is the shock here, that Moses, who has been gracious to them, leading them, and they've rebelled against him, they wanted to stone him and so forth, kill him in the wilderness. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? They're rebellious against the great king who's made this covenant with them. So now Moses says this. And this gets a little more specific than in just telling it to everybody. He says, He says, the language is assemble. So, bring all the leaders and officials of the nation of Israel. Bring all the leaders of your tribes, your officials, your officers. Bring all them in my presence. Bring them. If they're in the back, come forward, whatever. Bring them right here. And Moses is going to speak to them all the words of this treaty personally. And the word that's translated assemble to me in verse 28 is a nice tame word, like this is an assembly to worship. It's not that tame a word. It's a summons. A summons sent to all the leaders of all the tribes, all the officers, all the people who should be guiding God's people in their tribes. Here's a summons to show up in God's court. Doesn't use that language, but it's not just like, okay, let's have a nice little get-together, assemble. Like, we'll assemble at my house for a prayer meeting, or you're all invited to assemble for a picnic at my house this summer. Hold on that. It's a summons because God has just said through Moses, you're going to rebel against me. Now you come forward, you leaders. And I'll speak all the words of this covenant to your ears. And Moses says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. And then he says, I know something else, for I know, verse 29, that after my death, he said, before I die, I know you're rebellious. And he said, after my death, what's going to happen? Well, he says, after my death, you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you. That's not evil like their own evil. It's God's going to do evil events to them. God is going to do painful things to them. Evil can be moral, but it can also be justice. So God's justice is going to come upon them for the evil that they do. So they're going to do evil. They're going to do bad things. God's going to do bad things to them, so to speak. And in the days to come, evil will befall you because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands. So Moses is setting up a lawsuit. The leaders come forward. He says these things to them. I'm summoning you before God Almighty. In the future, you're going to disobey. You're going to break this covenant. You're going to do evil. Very, very evil things. And if you know the history of Israel, they got worse than the Canaanites. They went after other gods. Solomon built temples for the foreign gods. They worshipped all these gods of, you know, heaven and earth, the star, the sun, the moons, and so forth. They were sacrificing their babies in worship to pagan gods. Moses is summoning them and saying, the evidence is going to be these documents. It's also going to be heaven and earth against you. I call heaven and earth to witness against them. Moses is summoning heaven and earth. Now you could think that's all of creation, meaning like the sun, the moon, the stars. I think a better way of putting it is, everybody's going to know. The angels are going to know you broke the covenant. Other nations are going to know you broke the covenant when all these bad things happen to you. That's part of what is going to happen. Israel is going to be so wasted and punished by God that the other nations are described as having looked at this people and said, what did they do wrong to their God? Because everybody in that culture, different nations, said, well, our God is with us. That's why we're winning our battles. And they were going against another nation that had its God. And so it was God against God as nation goes to war against nation. So when one nation gets crushed, they think their God. They must have done something to offend their God. So nations are going to be able to witness. They've broken the covenant. Look what's happened to them. We've slaughtered them. We've taken them into slavery in Babylon. Their God, they must have really made their God angry. And they did. They did really, really make God absolutely angry at the wickedness. When he said, do these things, don't do these things. It's clear. I've been gracious to you. You've been wicked in the wilderness, but I've brought you into the promised land anyway. I've given you houses and vineyards and olive trees. You've become rich. And when you became rich and you were fat and relaxed, thinking, oh, I'm so great, that's when you're going to go and forget me. You're going to forsake me. You're going to go after these other gods. You see, the force of this witness, the documents, the song, calling heaven and earth to be a witness against them, is in view of what they're going to do in the future. And Moses knows, because God had revealed what they would do in the future to Moses. Moses knows. God had told Moses, this is what they're going to do. In Deuteronomy 31:21, just a few verses before this, God spoke to Moses. When many evils and troubles come upon them, why did evils come upon them from God? God did bad things to them because they were wicked. This song, the song that Moses is going to teach, which we'll look at next week's couple of weeks, this song shall confront them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring. And God tells Moses, for I know what they are inclined to do even today. See, it's in their hearts even then. They're about to go in the promised land. Before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give. So God knows the human heart. He knows they're wicked and they're going to go. How rebellious they are. Even when Moses is alive, they are wicked. When Moses is dead, they're going to be wicked. Well, let me get to the conclusion of this short passage. All the requirements from the ancient world have been modified for them to understand we have a treaty or a covenant with the great king who will protect us and provide for us. If we keep the terms and conditions of this covenant, do what he says to do, don't do what he forbids, if we do that, we'll be fine. If we don't, everything bad is going to happen to us. Earthly blessings, earthly curses, obedience and disobedience, all the terms and conditions, it's in writing. There's two copies. There's a song that's going to repeat it. And heaven and earth, like I said, I think that's more than just the sun, the moon, the stars, and the trees. Is that there are creatures in heaven who will say, boy, did they blow it. And there are going to be other nations that say, yes, they must have done something wicked to their God for them to go and lose all these wars and be devastated, absolutely devastated. And Israel has agreed. We're going to do all this as required. It's not in their heart. Will it work? Will the Israelites do what they're supposed to do? No. They are spiritually dead, except for those who've been born again through God's grace. And even then you get King David and Solomon who start out pretty good and then they sin. There's no perfect people, but none of them, almost none of them, only a remnant had a true heart to do what God wanted. So what's the application for us? We're not under that covenant. What are our treaty documents? Well, I could say very simply it's the whole Bible, which is true. Let's talk about how treaty documents were put together. Moses was the mediator. Moses went up, got the law, got the documents from God, brought them down, explained them to Israel, explained them, led them. Moses was the mediator. Moses had supernatural abilities with, you know, to bring upon curses to the Egyptians, to hit a rock. You know, God gave him that ability, hit a rock and have water come out of it. Turn the Nile to blood. All those kinds of things that Moses did were supernatural events that God gave to say to the people of God, this is my mediator. And he wrote the documents. And he's going to compose a song and sing it to them. Who's our mediator? It's Jesus. He's the mediator of a new covenant. He's our king. He's our mediator. He's our priest. He's our prophet. But Jesus did not write one letter of the new covenant. Are we without documents? The apostles in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 that I read, Jesus said to his apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's not power for like self-gratification, like, oh, I want to walk on water. What a fun thing I'll be. No, it's power to do what is next given by Jesus in this last words to them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and I will change the wording, to be my witnesses. He says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. The power will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. First in Jerusalem, and then all Judea, the surrounding territory, and Samaria, bigger territory. Samaria is like the half-breeds. They're half Jewish, half pagan. And then what's it say? To the end of the earth. Well, in Acts, what's the end of Acts? Paul's in Rome, and he's freely, boldly, without hindrance, proclaiming the gospel while he's under house arrest in Rome, the center of the Gentile world in that day. The Old Testament gives us the life of Moses from his birth. He was a special child from birth. He doesn't get drowned in the Nile. He gets ended up in the superpower household of Pharaoh. We have his birth, Moses' birth, his early life, his committing murder, having to run for his life because he committed murder, and then his being called by God supernaturally, audibly. And we have the death of Moses, not yet, but we're going to get to that. He's the mediator of the Old Covenant, or the Sinai Covenant, whatever you want to call it. And then what do we have in the New Testament? We have the birth of Jesus. We have his life, what he did, what he taught. Moses taught the law of Sinai. He taught it, created a song. Jesus taught it, did miracles, healed everybody in some towns, cast out demons, had power over darkness, spiritual darkness. And he died, crucified, but rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And just before he leaves to be enthroned in heaven, he tells the apostles, don't leave Jerusalem until this happens, that you receive power to be my witnesses. God chose Moses to be a mediator. God chose Jesus to be the mediator. Jesus chose apostles, gave them supernatural power to orally present Jesus from the Old Testament, because they didn't have the New Testament written. So they went about preaching Christ from the Old Testament. They preached the historicity, the reality of the resurrected Messiah, who is now ascended in heaven and has the name above every name. And they interpreted the history that has happened, and some of them wrote it down. Matthew and Mark. Luke is not an apostle, but he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he had contact with all the right people. And then you have the letters of Peter, the letters of Paul, and the letter of Hebrews, and you have Revelation from John. All these things are witnesses. They're the documents that you have. That's all you need to be in this new relationship through the life and death of Jesus Christ, who said to these men, you're going to be able to get it right. You're going to get it absolutely right. I don't need to write anything. You will write it. And you will write it perfectly. And there are warnings in both the law of Moses, the Old Covenant, for disobedience. And there's warnings in the New Testament for unrepentant disobedience especially. But also for those who are believers who do not repent quickly enough. However, there's a crucial difference, isn't there, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Between the law of Sinai or Moses and the New Covenant. A couple points here. We have a better mediator. Moses was the mediator of the Sinai covenant. He's dead, he's gone. Jesus is the mediator of our new covenant. He's dead, but risen, and ruling and reigning in heaven now. He has all power and authority in heaven and earth now. Moses never had that. Our mediator is ruling right now with all power and authority. He doesn't lack any wisdom, doesn't lack any power. He is ruling this world, and the history is going in the direction that he permits or directs. And we have a better covenant. Hebrews says that a couple places. Chapter 8 of Hebrews, verses 6 and 7. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, meaning the animal's old covenant, as the covenant Jesus mediates is better than the old covenant, since it is enacted on better promises. It's comparing Moses' law of Sinai versus the new covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. That old covenant didn't solve the sin problem. The new one does, because Jesus takes away the punishment for our sins. Hebrews 10:11. Jesus being our high priest, during the lifetime of the writer of Hebrews, there were still high priests in Jerusalem making animal sacrifices. And he says this, the writer says, every priest now stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. A summary of all the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. But when Jesus had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's your covenant. By sitting down, he's saying, I've done it. I've finished. I gave the once for all sacrifice. He sits down enthroned on his throne in heaven, and he's accomplished redemption for us. And so to continue with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. Then he adds in verse 17, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. The new covenant, God says, I'm not going to deal with their sins anymore in the sense of it's already been dealt with. Jesus did the once for all sacrifice. You and I are free from condemnation because it's been paid. And here's the proof of that in verse 18 of Hebrews 10. There's many other proofs. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. All the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. So they slaughtered lambs, they slaughtered goats, they slaughtered oxen, they bloodbath after bloodbath, sprinkled it all over the altar and so forth. They did that, but it didn't work. They were to go, there's got to be a better one. Because we're doing this all the time. Once for all sacrifice with Jesus, it's done. That's the new covenant. It's done. You are really forgiven of all your sins by his once for all sacrifice. No need for another sacrifice. whatever so-called sacrifices you may make for Christ, like I give up my BMW to donate it to the church, or you know, all this, that's not a sacrifice for sin. That's your saying, out of my love for God Almighty and His Son, I will give some of what He's given to me back to the work of the church to save more souls and to edify more children and adults to grow in knowledge of Jesus and love for Him. So in this new covenant that God has made with us through His Son, we have all the grace that Jesus has earned for us. Now, partial grace in the sense of we're going to still have problems, we're going to still have aging and dying. Nobody gets out of here alive, correct? But after you leave, if you're a believer, you're going to go to paradise. To be absent from this body is to be with Jesus and in paradise. That is guaranteed to you by the work of Jesus in the new covenant. Let's pray. Father, we are those who must look at the big picture of you being a covenant-making God. You are the one who makes peace with us, and the terms for our peace is that one had to sacrifice himself for us. One who was perfect, one who was just pure from day one of his birth till the day he died. And he did take upon himself the curse that we deserve. And his sacrifice has earned our forgiveness. May we live out of that. Walk with courage and strength, knowing that all the power and authority of Jesus is on our side. We don't have to earn forgiveness. We don't have to earn a blessing. It's graciously given to us. But that grace works in us, a change in our heart and minds. And oh, what a lovely thing it is when we stop doing wicked things and start doing better things. So help us to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus, to grow in this covenant that you've made with us through your Son. And may we be a bold and fearless and loving people till the day we die. And when we enter glory, may we sing his praises forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.